Sama sambutasa Butang tamang sanggam namasami. One thing we should contemplate, let not anger dwell in the mind. The training that we undertake as daughters and sons of the Buddha is exactly that. It's to purify the mind. There's a wonderful sutta where an elderly gentleman, Nakalaputta, comes to the Buddha and he says to him, "I am old and frail. My body is decrepit and I don't feel happy. I'm not well. What should I do about this condition? Venerable Lord, what should I do with this sick body?" And the Buddha points out to him that the body may be sick, but he should really pay attention to the sickness in the mind. We want peace in a conflicted world, but where do you think this peace begins? It might begin in the world, but it ends in the world. It ends very quickly because people are not peaceful within themselves. And that's exactly what we're trying to do is make peace in the heart. We're very good at taking care of the body. Today, on our way here from Perth, there's so much rushing around. Where is everyone going? And at that speed, so we had to make a stop. And the Tim Hortons was so big. And the signs on the wall, it said eggs from hens fed with grass, a natural feeding or vegetarian. And then another one was eggs from hens not getting antibiotics. And then another one was beef from a certain kind of well-fed cows, all for the sake of getting just exactly what you want to eat to make the body happy. Because if we get the special brands of foods that are done exactly the right way according to specific needs that we have for the health of the body, all is good. Meanwhile, the place was cold and sterile. I felt like a proton. I don't know what that is, but it was not friendly. There was no heart. And they're open 24/7, 365. When I was a kid, there used to be one day a week where everything was closed. And it felt good. Everybody stopped. You stop. You go pray or you do some holy activity, like spend time with your family. Now, they never stop feeding you exactly what you need. But there's no mental training at all. And you can get in and out of there so fast, so you can continue speeding along with the big trucks and get to wherever we have to go. So I was reflecting on this. I felt not like a human. But we're human, we're human beings. And the happiness is not in speeding, and it's not in getting a certain kind of food that is just the right thing for this particular body, which needs all these special ingredients. But your mind is racing, your heart is rushed, frenzied, no time for anything, no time even to eat. We don't sit down eating. We eat standing up. We eat walking to the car. We eat while driving. We never stop, even to feed the body, let alone feed the mind. Now, the Buddha said to Nakalaputta, "What do we do for the mind?" And proceeded to teach him the Eightfold Noble Path that can make the mind well. We are here to make the mind well. Peace in the world is not happening. Fear in the world is happening. Anger in the world, joylessness, frustration are out of proportion. Out there, it's Friday night, it's the weekend, everybody's partying, it's a frenzied place. But this is how people are seeking their happiness, their comfort, their way of releasing stress. We are the few and the lucky ones who can sit and create a space of sanctity and sanctuary where we can try to feed the mind, the food, the nutrition, the nourishment that the mind needs. And what is that? It's silence. Out of the silence, it's not the lack of sound. There's plenty of noises going on. There's the rumbling of the city outside the windows. There's the beating of our hearts. There's the restlessness and the agitation. When we come to sit down in the silence, it takes a while before the mind gets quiet. It takes a few days before everyone gets really, really quiet. And then you can touch the silence. You can connect to it. It becomes so profound when everyone sits in a big group and is trying to do the same thing, to nourish, to nurture, to cultivate, to irrigate, to grow the silence within the heart. This is health. This is strength. This is courage. This is joy. This is love. This is mindfulness. As Ajahn Brahm used to say, this is kindfulness. This is not willpower. This is wisdom power. We cannot do this by a muscle the way you can in the world. You muscle your way through life, but you cannot muscle your way to enlightenment. It's a gentle deepening. It's like a flower opening to the sun. It's wisely knowing our present moment condition and then bringing in the factors of enlightenment that help us to realize what we truly are instead of following what we think we are. Because thinking doesn't free us from the prison that we're in. And so what we have to do, what we're trying to do in this very life, is to get out of jail. We don't know that we're in jail. But when we practice this present moment awareness, we start to realize how much we're caught in habit. First of all, there's the culture. We're trained to behave in a certain way. Look at little babies and little children, how naturally they sit, how spontaneously they reach for things, how lovingly they look even at a stranger until they're taught not to look at a stranger as well. They learn about separation, about judgment, about division, about hatred, and they become very deluded in that. We're in another level of deluded right now in terms of what children, what adults are being habituated to, addicted to. People walking around with their devices, so they're not walking mindfully, they're walking and either chewing on something from a bag or holding a device in their hands. They don't even look where they're walking. Even while driving, we're busy thinking, and you wonder who's driving the car. Because we're already in the future, we're already where we're going. But present moment awareness is precious. If we are able to learn how to be present and to let go of the past and let go of the future, then we practice being in the present moment. We are not taught that anymore. What can you get? What can we get? Well, the getting is not generous. The getting is self-centered, it's selfish. What can I get? And it's future-oriented. Present moment awareness is generosity. And that kind of generosity is a way of letting go. We're letting go of the future, we're letting go of the past. There are four ways of letting go. And one of them is called this chaga. It's a generosity. It's when you give. And this is the foundation of the Eightfold Noble Path. Dana sila, samadhi panya. Dana sila. Sila is virtue, but the base of virtue, the base of the whole path, the path practiced by itself is generosity, because we have to consciously, with awareness, pick up this practice. Keeping precepts. That's a generosity to ourselves. Paying attention to the present moment is a generosity to ourselves. We let go of the future, we let go of the past. And we also practice offering, giving to others. In this culture, birthdays, it's all about what can I get? What am I going to get? I'm like this, I'm like that. Selfish. When I was training in Burma, I remember Sayadaw Upandita had a birthday. And we were all excited it was going to be his birthday. So they were going to make a special meal, and there would be festivities and chanting. And then do you know what he did on his birthday? He gave everyone a gift. And that's what they do on birthdays. You give everyone else a present. So every monk and nun in the monastery received a present. Toothpaste, a little towel, and a toothbrush. A simple gift, but just what you need. And I thought, this is opposite to what we learn in our culture. It's very introverted. What am I going to get? Not what can I give? It's turning upside down what needs to be turned upside down, because we are so self-centered. This is like the world is very noisy. This is about being silent and listening to the weather in the mind, in the heart. What's the weather? Anger. What do? Practice kindness. Practice mindfulness of the present moment. See the anger and sweep it away. Give someone a gift. Give yourself a gift of present moment awareness. So chaga is that generosity. And then there's patinisaha, which is a relinquishment. This is something that we learn by practicing right intention. Right intention is the intention to renounce, the intention of bearing forth or bringing forth kindness, loving kindness, and the intention towards compassion, to be compassionate to ourselves and others. So the weather in the mind, if it's unwholesome, if it's suffering, then we bring up the causes and conditions to clear that and to shine, to bring the light of the Dhamma within us, present moment awareness, breathing in and out, creating peace here and now, not tomorrow, but here and now, by being content, generous to the present moment, aware of the gifts of our life, thankful for the blessings we have, gratitude for this teaching, this training, our friends, our parents, the gifts that we do have, instead of thinking of what we don't have, feeling upset at someone, finding reasons to complain. Anger is contagious. If we have anger going on in there, it's going to create more anger. If there's fear, there'll be more fear because we're afraid of our fear and we're angry at the anger. It's self-creating, self-perpetuating, because we believe in this self, and the whole world that this self creates is more self. It's all about me, me and mine, not letting go. So the renunciation is a powerful tool for bringing in loving kindness and compassion, gratitude, blessing the moment with unselfishness, with selflessness. This is what the Buddha meant by emptying out. So then we have real contentment. And that's because of relinquishment. That's patinisaka. And then once we have that patinisaka, we have learned how to let go in a bigger way. It's like you throw away what you don't need. You throw away what is harmful. You throw away what is the cause and condition for your selfishness. How many pairs of shoes do you have? Well, you know, people that are cold. There's an organization that goes around Toronto, or several, feeding the homeless. There's so many people who haven't got a roof over their heads in a country, in a town, where there's very cold weather. And we have much too much clothing, many more pairs of shoes, coats, gloves, hats. Even in the monastery, we're always giving things away because people bring us more than we need. So we want it to be shared. So that relinquishment is a way of sharing. Turning the selfishness into generosity. So the mutti, this is the third kind of letting go. Mutti is getting out of jail. We are not free. As long as we are wanting things, we may have given gifts, we may have relinquished, but we still want, there's still greed. We still want to have this and have that. We're still in that prison of the self desiring and wanting. There isn't a real deep contentment and happiness with things exactly as they are. Once we give up wanting, once we give up being afraid that we don't have enough, then we unlock the prison door and we get out of jail. This is mutti. Mutti is a state of when you're not in jail, then you don't have a cage. You're not protecting the self so much. There's a fearlessness that begins. And that's a tremendous freedom of heart. But there's still the shades of the self, because there's one more level of letting go, and that is the state of anahata. Anahata is a state of being empty of defilements, when the mind is so purified that there's complete balance. Whether things are going well or not, there's peace. We're balanced. The heart is equanimous with whatever is arising. We might be in a very big Tim Hortons, it doesn't matter. We might be in a tiny, cute little cafe where people are all friendly and loving. Wherever we are, whatever people are saying to us, whoever's getting elected or not elected, we're not electing, we're not selecting. We are content and joyful and at peace with things exactly as they are. The mind is empty. It receives what it receives, and it doesn't need to change anything because it knows the truth of the way things are. It has been freed, liberated completely, given up any control. There is no more sense of self. It's just a liberated mind, free from worldly conditions. It is at one with the unconditioned, Nibbana itself. It's like Teflon. Nothing sticks. These are some of the synonyms for Nibbana. That which does not disintegrate. Apalokita. It does not disintegrate. That which is measureless, boundless. So this kind of a mind is not concerned with this world. It doesn't matter who is in power, because this power of the world is a powerlessness. It comes from greed, hatred, and delusion. It doesn't come from freedom, from generosity and freedom. Anyone who comes into a position of power is in danger of disintegrating because of fame, honor, and glory. And we've seen that over and over, how even the most honorable positions of power, like leaders of religions, leaders of societies, easily, how many times have we heard the stories of great leaders becoming corrupt and abusing their power? But this kind of power, this kind of wisdom power, the wisdom power of realizing liberation of the heart, the analia, the emptying out of all delusion, all greed, and all hatred, is the highest power of all. It's one that does not disintegrate, because there's no self there. It's just the boundlessness that spreads as far as any galaxy. This consciousness, this love, unconditioned love, it's so vast, better than any rocket ship, spaceship, any man-made or human-made artificial object. It is the highest, most boundless, unconditional love human beings are capable of. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We have the potential to develop this universal love because we are able to be aware. We have this conscious awareness. But if our awareness is filled with even a taint of greed, a wanting, a taint of ill will, oh, I don't like her. Oh, I need this kind of egg. That wanting is a prison. That delusion is a prison. Not knowing who we really are, what we really are, is a prison. And we're rushing around, really getting lost, more and more lost in the world, in worldly activities and worldly temptations, delusions, to get more of that, less of this, even the lessening of, I have too much, I have too little. It's a lack of contentment with or knowing things just as they are. But more virtue, yes. More loving kindness that's pure, untainted by selfish motives, by self. More generosity that's not, I don't need this, I'll give this as a gift. It's not real generosity. But a generosity that is completely free of the self and just wants to take care of others. Wants to give them shoes or a blanket because it's cold, or food because they're hungry, or shelter because they haven't got a roof. They're unprotected, they're not safe. Instead of worrying about ourselves, to take care of each other. It takes humility. And these kinds of qualities we learn when we stop to listen in the silence. When the mind is quiet, we want more of that. So meditate and practice to develop tranquility, develop and sustain the serenity of the heart, and then work on these kinds of purifications of the mind so that we have the generosity to the present moment, which brings forth an awareness that is more and more loving, compassionate, empty of all defilements, fully present, and able to know the truth of who we are. And that unconditioned quality is to be found in the silent mind. It's not of this earth. It's not of the sense realm. It's of another dimension. We cannot know this truth through the sense doors, through the seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, the feeling of the body, but this is an experience through the heart. It's intuitive. It's not through the brain. It's very hard to go from that kind of intelligence to trusting your intuitive sense, your intuitive knowing. And that kind of knowing can know this freedom of unselfishness, of conscious present moment awareness that is unconditionally loving, compassionate, and wise. That's wisdom power. Not willpower. You can strive all night, you can count your breaths a million times. It's not a technique, but it's stepping out of this dimension and trusting the present moment. Totally trusting this way of being, of knowing, of understanding. And we have to suffer. Suffering is our teacher. If everything was perfect, we would trust the world. But it's just because the world is not peaceful that we look for a transcendent peace. This is joy that is beyond pleasure of the senses. It's a happiness that is not based in a self. The self is death-bound, and this is immortal. It's diseaseless. That's what the Buddha was talking about, abhayiti. So it's freedom from illness and freedom from ill will. This is the illness of the mind, is ill will. That's why to develop the path, we develop wholesome qualities based on virtue. So when we're angry, we should know we're in danger. Let us be aware of where is the mind now and move it back to the center, back to freedom point, back to wisdom power, back to loving kindness, compassion, and relinquishment, that balanced generosity of heart. That's asoka, freedom from sorrow, freedom from grief, freedom from pain. We might have pain in the body. We have the ability to know the truth of things just as they are and of what we are. So there's no second arrow anymore. The bow is empty. Our weapon is love.